No, the full Monteverdi, Talis in Wonderland, I know, great titles. He's always been inventive, Mr. Robert Hollingworth, a real innovator. Passion, yes, but never at the expense of the purity of the music. Robert's latest project is with De Profundis, a male vocal ensemble, performing as singers in Renaissance Spain would have. This is music from his Missa Assumpsit Jesus by Sebastian de Vivanco. Kyrie from the Missa Assumpsit Jesus by Sebastian de Vivanco. De Profundis, conducted by Robert Hollingworth. And you recording a sumptuous, rich sound, harking back indeed to what it would have been like at the Spanish Renaissance and in continental chapels. Well, Robert Hollingworth can tell me more. He's in York, of course, where he is inculcating all sorts of delights in the solo voice ensemble to people taking the master's degree. And I hope they're all paying attention. Evening, Robert.
Good evening, Sean.
Well, it's such an extraordinary sound that it's maybe rather different than what we're used to in this country. So we've got falsetto and boys on the top. Need to explain the composition of the male voices for us.
Well, it's falsettists, then high tenors, baritenors and bass, which is a very Renaissance thing. Mm. But I think we'd be wrong to think that there was one way of doing anything. The idea, you think of the variety there is in music making. Of contemporary music now in around the world, the idea that there would be one way of doing things then. So in some choirs, they would have had boys on the top. In others, they would have had falsettists. Others, they used castratos. So it depended. In some places, they sang with just one to a part. In some places, they would have sung like this with several. But it's the lovely thing about this is it takes the stress out of the sound. And those magnificent recordings that you sometimes hear with very high women singing, it's magnificent, but it's only one way of doing it. And I think this is a way that we can be sure did happen at the time.
Well, only men would have been allowed to sing, of course, in the cathedrals and chapels. But it's intensely luxurious sound, isn't it?
Yes, it is. One should, of course, say there's a huge history of women singing polyphony in convents and other places in the 16th century. But I think you've put your finger on it. That's the thing. It's the actual tapisserie, I want to say, the tapestry, the sound itself, the fabric that Vivanco and his colleague Victoria write with was of the finest silk. And so almost whatever you do with it, the way they've laid it out is so rich and so beautiful that even without knowing the words, you could just sit and enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, where do you place them? I mean, we think you mentioned Victoria, Thomas Luis Victoria, one of the great figures, of course, Renaissance sacred music in Spain, Francisco Guerrero. People might be heard less about de Vivanco.
Yes, I mean, there's still a lot of music out there that is not well known. That's the glory of it, isn't it? You can spend a lifetime looking at it. I think the thing you look at is, you know, what are his greatest pieces, and the piece that you're going to play in a minute, Veni Dilecti Me, the quality of ecstasy that he creates from eight voices in this Song of Songs piece is really second to nobody. It's ecstatically done. And I think that's what we tried very hard in the recording to get, the actual quality of sound and delivery of text. Yeah. You know, you talk about authenticity. That's one thing we do know about the 16th century that they valued in singers was their quality of enunciation and how they delivered words. So we tried hard with this beautiful Song of Songs text. It reminds me of the fact that Victoria and Vivanco came from Avila, as did St. Teresa, the mystic, who had these, what we might describe as erotic visions. But of course, you don't need to think of them in those terms, but the language she used, you know, a Freudian analysis would have a lot of fun with. Yeah. But it's the intensity of her relationship to God and Christ that she's describing here. And this is how a composer at the time would have related to this text.
Well, you get that passion. But I know you are very, very, not severe, but I mean, passionate too, about, I think you said, getting as acoustically pure intervals as possible so that the core, there is a crystal clarity at the core before you start to have any emotion.
What a memory you have. I think most of my students wish I'd just shut up about acoustically fewer intervals. One of them, Jacob Collier, did a beautiful seminar a few weeks ago saying, well, yeah, there is that, but there's more to it as well. So I slapped him a bit. It is something that, again, that we worked on, that if you can find the purity of the major third, which is not where it is on the piano, and the minor third and the fifth, the piano is, of course, just a massive compromise. I suppose the piano, in clothing terms, is the onesie of tuning, whereas what we want is a sort of James Bond suit. And so we keep our major thirds low and our minor thirds high, and then the music just gets to speak a little bit more easily.
I don't know. I don't know. You can slap us all, I think. We wouldn't mind just sitting in your lectures for a while in York. I hope they appreciate what they're getting.
I couldn't possibly comment.
Mr. Jacob Collier, you mentioned, I think he's doing pretty well.
Said Jacob Collier. He's going to slap me. It's Jacob Ewins
about. Oh, that's all right.
I haven't taught Jacob Collier and claim nothing for his success. Jacob Ewins is the singer I'm thinking of.
With Jacob Collier coming to help us launch the proms this year and our pre-proms thing. So I thought, well, there we are. Maybe
But he's another man who knows his tuning and his and all that sort of thing. He's fascinating on the subject.
It does. Well, listen, it was wonderful to have you with us. No humour in this. This is dark and beautiful drama. You're not setting Mr. Vivanco up for any amusing plots or dramatisations.
There will be no when I'm cleaning windows in Castilian Spanish suddenly appearing in the middle. This is the pure beauty of the music.
Robert, as always, lovely to have you with us, even at a distance. And if any delected me, this is, of course, from the Song of Songs. I suppose it is erotic in a way, isn't it?
Oh, well, the text seems to be, but this was, that's another entire subject. It's the language itself seems to be, but I think it's perfectly, you don't even need to worry about whether it is or not. The point is the composer has related on a very personal level to the emotion in the text.
Robert, thank you very much. Come, my beloved, let us arise. Veni, delecte me, from the Song of Songs, as set by Sebastian de Vivanco, in that new recording from De Profundis and Robert Hollingworth, out now on the Hyperion label. His Missa Assumpsit Jesus and the motets, glorious stuff, really, as it would have sounded in the Spanish Renaissance. And also, Robert, while he's at York, of course, I say, telling everybody how to get their music together on the master's course of solo voice ensemble, but with I Fagiolini, the great group he founded, 3 concerts at the Rydale Festival in 3 days, 25th at Scarborough, St Martin the Hill, 26th at York, at St Lawrence, and the 27th at Sledmere House, which has got the most glorious capability brand landscape. So you are good. Your senses are salted all round. Well, so-